this is Somi, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM, hands-on creative community radio for Greene and Columbia County.
And turn out or tune in Wednesday, December 13th to Aaron Dyer, My Tree, and Lily Konigsberg live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Aaron Dyer's having a record release show, and My Tree and Lily Konigsberg are also on the bill. The show is also tune-inable at WGXC.org and broadcast on 90.7 FM. WGXC, your creative community radio station.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of William Tiersten, Newark, New Jersey. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. Joshua Solomon reports in the Times Union that during a political battle over Governor Kathy Hochul's initial nomination for a new chief judge of the Court of Appeals, a loophole in lobbying laws was exposed. But now Hochul has vetoed bipartisan legislation intended to close that loophole. After Hochul nominated Justice Hector D. LaSalle as the top jurist on the state's highest court, a gap in state law was revealed that allowed unregistered lobbying in judicial nominations and other top state offices. The law Hochul struck down would have put lobbying of state judicial nominees in line with attempts to influence state government and elections. Democrats and Republicans supported the bill. Hochul's memo explaining her veto of the bill said it, and I quote, would broadly expand the definition of reportable lobbying to include the nomination of a person to state office of her confirmation by the state Senate. This bill would impose significant new reporting requirements on people who might already be reporters retroactive to January 1st. Additionally, this would impose implementation costs not already accounted for in the state's financial plan, end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. While valleys near the Hudson River got a lot of rain, higher elevations did get snow for the first time on December 11th. After some school children were delayed 2 hours or missed school on Monday, local ski resorts were probably the happiest to see flakes falling. The ski resorts hope for snow on Thanksgiving weekend every year, but have had to wait until mid-December this time for any measurable amounts. Windham Mountain reported 8 inches fell there during the storm, and they currently have a base depth of 12 to 24 inches of real and manufactured snow. Hunter Mountain reported 6 inches of snow from the storm and an 18-inch base depth. Catamount Ski in Columbia County has not updated its website since the storm and has not opened for the season. Karina Dominguez reports for News 10 that the season's first winter storm was also the first test of New York State's Weather Risk Communications Center at UAlbany's Atmospheric Science Research Center. Trey Ryan, one of the three meteorologists working for the new center, said, and I quote, "First things first, we went through and saw what happened. Snowfalls, wind gusts, rain totals. We compared a few different sites from the MesoNet and the National Weather Service, and we tried to compile it into our briefing for emergency managers so they can refer to it for their actions, end quote. Nick Basile, the director of the center, said the storm was typical of the kind this area sees when it gets warmer. He said, and I quote, "It's really wet kind of snow, and that's a signal that scientists have said that we should expect more of as we continue with climate change. We're going to have more of those kinds of mixed precipitation, wet snow, rain snow challenges," end quote. Read more about this story at News 10. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, December 12th. Local early morning temperatures range from 22 degrees in Tannersville to 34 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 43 degrees. Today we're still drying out, a little windy with a high of 45 at 2 p.m. Overnight temperatures fall to 31 degrees. Then tomorrow we'll have a chance for some light isolated snow in the afternoon. A high of 40 happens at 1 p.m. 23 degrees overnight takes us into a mostly sunny Thursday with a high of 38. Friday, temperatures hit 47 degrees, setting up a pattern for the weekend. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:11 a.m. Looking way up, we see tomorrow night will be the peak of the Geminid meteor shower. Hopefully clouds take a break because the new moon will set things up perfectly. Plasma winds will be slow at 327 kilometers per second with a thin density of 3 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are no chances for aurora this evening, and the current sunspot number is 87. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Signal Hill, Newfoundland, Thursday morning, December the 12th, 1901.
Siamo lieto di poter rievocare in poche parole le esperienze delle prime trasmissioni radiotelegrafiche a grandi distanze da me felicemente eseguite attraverso l'Oceano Atlantico il 12 dicembre 1901. Queste esperienze provarono conclusivamente che la trasmissione e la ricezione delle onde elettriche non erano affatto limitate, come a quel tempo credevano tutti gli scienziati alle brevi distanze, bensì potevano essere utilizzate per le comunicazioni fra il vecchio e il nuovo mondo.
Next we hear 2023 local music from Aaron Dyer from the band Buke and Gaze. This is a collaboration with Stargaze. The song is called Define.
I thought you'd be
and turn out or tune in Wednesday, December 13th to Aaron Dyer, My Tree, and Lily Konigsberg live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Aaron Dyer's having a record release show, and My Tree and Lily Konigsberg are also on the bill. The show is also tune-inable at WGXC.org and broadcast on 90.7 FM. WGXC, your creative community radio station. Listening to Derby from the 2019 album Scholars by Hudson-based band Buke and Gace on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We need people to step up and get involved. We're losing our republic. We need them to step up right now.
Former Mesa County, Colorado clerk Tina Peters faces multiple felony charges centering on the hacking of voting machine software, but she's still calling for, as she puts it, patriots to supervise the operation of the machines to prevent the fraud she says stole the 2020 election. Nearly two dozen computer scientists, election security experts, and voter advocacy groups have just issued a sharp warning to federal agencies about an organized multi-state effort by followers of former President Donald Trump to access voting software. They call it a serious threat. New York's highest court has ordered the state to draw new congressional districts. Democrats sued to have last year's maps thrown out after losing a handful of seats. New York City's sole Republican Congresswoman Nicole Maliotakis calls the court's move a slap in the face to voters.
People do want to see a balance in their representation because they've seen how radical and ridiculous New York has gotten.
Republicans in the U.S. House may have the votes to launch a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden this week. Democratic Massachusetts Congressman Jim McGovern says there's no solid evidence Biden used the vice presidency to benefit his family.
We are here because the insurrection did not succeed on January 6th, and this is about finishing the job. So let's not kid ourselves that Donald Trump doesn't play a role here.
Senate Democrats say Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas should recuse himself from ruling on a Trump claim headed to the court. Trump is claiming presidential immunity for his role in the January 6th insurrection, which they argue Thomas's wife Ginny supported and helped organize. Former Fulton County, Georgia election worker Wandrea Shea Moss tells jurors former Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani made her life a nightmare. Giuliani has admitted he falsely accused her of election fraud. Moss is asking for tens of millions in damages for the violent racist threats she and her family have endured since.
It's affected my life in a major way, in every way, all because of lies, for me doing my job.
New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu plans to endorse former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley for the GOP presidential nomination.
There's one issue that every Republican should think about, and it's not jobs or the economy or abortion or so. It's none of that. It's winning.
New Hampshire is an early primary state, as is South Carolina. A bipartisan group in Arizona wants to open that state's partisan primary. They say limiting the ballot to party members discriminates against independent and unaffiliated voters, actually the state's largest bloc. Former Phoenix Mayor Paul Johnson says open primaries would weaken party extremes.
But it is going to force you to go out and talk to people that maybe you don't necessarily agree with. And oh, by the way, that's the magical key to democracy.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A bipartisan group in Montana passed a critical court test last month for a November 2024 ballot measure implementing a top four open primary system. Montanans for Election Reform needs 60,000 signatures to place ballot initiative 12 on next year's ballot. BI 12 would constitutionally change Montana's primary system to a single ballot open primary similar to Alaska's, where major party, third party, and independent candidates appear on a single ballot and the top four candidates advance to the general election. The Montana Supreme Court ruled in November that BI 12 is constitutional. A second initiative, BI 13, would require that candidates win with a majority, not just a plurality, which could necessitate runoff elections. While open primary ballots are lengthy, they offer a wider array of choices for voters, allow all voters to participate, not just the party faithful, and often result in more moderate winners. Unlike Alaska's system, the Montana proposition does not specify the use of ranked choice voting, which is often used with open primaries. Instead, it allows the legislature to specify what system to use, though a bill passed earlier this year prohibits the use of ranked choice in Montana elections. 10% of signatures must come from each of 40 state legislative districts by June 21st to qualify. We have the language of the initiatives at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir, llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456, mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
Next, we're going to hear some local music from Columbia County composer, drummer, percussionist Bobby Previtt and Ray Anderson. Their 2023 album is called Double Trouble, and this is Rollover.
Thank you. 2023 music from Columbia County's Bobby Previtt on drums and Ray Anderson there. The album's called Double Trouble, and that song was called Rollover.
Hi, everybody. This is Dan from Campbell Hudson. The Oberufer Shepherd's Play was performed for hundreds of years in a small Austrian village called Oberufer on the River of Danube. It's a native play told largely from the point of view of three bubbling shepherds who are visited by the angel Gabriel. They make their way to Bethlehem in search of the newborn Jesus child. Tradition had it that a group of ordinary citizens would come together each year at Christmas time to perform the play for the town. This year, the Camp Hill Hudson community has come together to put on this play for their friends and neighbors in the city of Hudson. Come see the Shepherd's Play at the Presbyterian Church on the corner of Warren and 4th Streets in Hudson on Friday, December 15th at 7 p.m. and Saturday, December 16th at 4 p.m. Donations are greatly accepted. Happy holidays. Hope to see you there.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
It's now time for our weekly discussion on weather and climate with retired National Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson. And this conversation will be our last in 2023, so we wanted to take a bit more time this week to reflect on the year and the weather and climate events that will define this year. Thanks for joining me, Hugh.
Hello, Sina. How you doing?
Great. So what do you think that 2023 will be remembered for regarding weather and climate?
Well, for the world, it looks like it could be the warmest year on record. That's still not, hasn't been cast in stone. We still got a couple weeks left, but we are running very close to our all-time warmest year. We've had many of these, of course, in the last decade. So it looks like this one will exceed those. And here in Albany, it won't be our warmest year, but it will be remembered as a warm and wet year, not our wettest year, but it was, we had above normal precipitation. We're already above normal for the year, over 40 inches. And temperature-wise, yeah, we're running quite a bit above normal once again for the year. And this is including our adjusted upwards of our 30-year averages, which have gone up, and we're still averaging above normal.
And can you remind us what the previously or the current top warmest year has been on record?
For us locally, well, for us, it's 2012. For the world, I believe it's 2016. So it's been a couple of years since we've broken the record. That was an El Nino, too. We're having an El Nino this year. Not quite as strong as that, but the Earth is warming even without it. But that's adding even a little bit more warmth to the whole global picture.
So you've broken down 2023 by months. Can you walk us through some of the major events of this year?
Absolutely. So we'll start out in January. January turned out to be our mildest January since 1937. You heard that right. Beating out 1990, yes, with an average of 32.2. It was very cloudy. I remember it was a very cloudy month. And we did get a bit of snow. We had 11 inches, so we weren't skimping on snow. We were a little bit below normal, but most of our snow, as in most of the year that winter was heavy and wet. It was not the real fluffy type, but we did get 11 inches of snow. We were wetter than normal, and again, very mild. Then in February, we did have a very intense cold snap in the middle of the month, right around Valentine's Day, where it dropped to 13 below zero one day, and then 2 days later, we were above normal. We ended up above normal February. It was drier, but we had the breaking of the polar vortex, and that sort of set the stage, I think, for a lot of the year. We had a very blocky atmosphere. Before that, we had a very progressive atmosphere with not a lot of blocking, very smooth, fast-moving systems. And then things started to change after that polar vortex split. Even though it didn't stay cold long, it really did start to a block. And that block was really noted in March. Even though March ended up a little bit above normal, it was our snowiest month. We had two large snowstorms, one on the 4th and the 5th, one on the 14th and 15th. Both close to 10 inches of snow, a lot more in the higher elevations, and both storms caused a lot of power outages, especially the 14th, 15th one. It wasn't quite as much as the Pi Day storm, but it was in some ways more destructive because it was a much wetter snow, and it was a pretty wet month in March, too. Then April was interesting because April, again, still in a blocky pattern. We end up starting out in a very dry the first half of April, and it was chilly, but then it warmed up dramatically. In fact, we had a near heat wave on the 13th and 14th hitting 89 both those days. I actually hit 90 or higher at my thermometer, but and then it looked like it was going to be a dry spring. All of a sudden, we had a couple of cutoff lows develop in the end of April. We seem to have that a lot. That's not unusual. And
remind us what a cutoff low is.
Oh, cutoff low. Sorry, my bad. Is a low that completely breaks off from the westerlies in the upper atmosphere, kind of spins along on its own slowly and kind of meanders and can cause unsettled weather for days, for quite a few days. And the season of cutoff lows really is late April and May. That's when they most often occur. So good question. Yes. And we coupled in late April, and that made up for the dryness in the beginning of the month. So we end up above normal in April. And we started in the very beginning of May with rain, but then we went back to dry again. In fact, May was our driest month, 1.16, I think, at the airport. And it would have been drier, except for the first day of the month, we had a bit of rain. And it was a little cooler than normal, even though it got warm at the end. We had a 32-degree reading on May 18th. Actually, I take that back. May was just slightly above. It was very close to normal. But we had a 32-degree temperature on May 18th. And then we had, but we also end up having a great Memorial Day weekend. Of all the holiday weekends, by far, it was the nicest one. It was warm, not humid, not too hot, but 80s and lows in the 50s for the most part. And there was no other holiday that came close to that in 2023. And then in June, the pattern started to change again. It was interesting. June broke we had a bunch of mild months, and then June was a bit cooler than normal, even though it started hot. And we ended up having a bit more rain. It wasn't, we didn't get a lot of rain, but we had 18 days of, if you count traces of measurable rain, which is a little bit much for June. But the big legacy in June was the smoke. The Canadian forest fires were raging, and we had many days of smoke, and a couple of them with the air quality index went to an unhealthy range. And I know personally, there was one day it affected my lungs for about a week or two, and one day where it was really, really bad. And we had a lot of that in June. So I think June, that kind of messed up the June, between that being kind of cool, cloudy, and smoky, not the best of Junes. And then, of course,
the first time that I really remember that kind of smoke. And so I think for many people, that will be definitely a really defining climate occurrence of 2023.
Oh, I agree. We've had smoke outs a day or two, but there were many days in June. That's what made it really particularly disturbing. And then in July, we still had some smoke, but the big legacy was the rain. We had only 17 days of rain, actually one less than June, but lots of big rain in July. On the 18th, over 2 inches at the airport with a band that just set up. And I was in that band in Colony Center, and it was pouring, not so much at my house, but right under that band. And it was actually, at one point, the sun was shining and it was still raining very hard. It was very, very interesting. And there was a lot of severe weather in July, not so much in Albany itself, but in surrounding areas. I'm talking to my former coworkers, at the Weather Service. They said it was a rough month, a lot of severe weather. I don't know if there were any tornadoes or not. I can't remember offhand, but there was a lot of thunderstorm damage. But again, right here in the Albany area, it was more about just rain, over 10 inches of rain, our wettest July on record. And it was hotter than normal, 2.5 degrees above normal, very humid. And then in August, we cooled off again, but we stayed kind of wet, not as bad as July. It wasn't quite as outrageous, but the weird thing about July, we only hit 84 for our highest temperature, which is one of the lowest high temperatures. I think it was the lowest in many, many years. I can't remember the exact day, to be honest with you, how many months ago, but it was a long time. So we didn't even get close to 90s, but fear not, because in September, it got really hot again. In fact, September was when we had our only official heat wave, 3 days in a row of 90 or higher, I believe the 5th to 7th. One of them might have been a record high, 93 or hottest temperature of the whole summer. And then it cooled off after that. It wasn't so hot after that, but we ended up a little bit above normal, and precipitation was pretty close to normal. So not a bad September, though it was very summery. And then October, it got really warm again. In fact, October, I believe April and January were all top 10 warmest months. October was our third or fourth warmest. It beat out 2021 and not that far behind 2017, which is our warmest October on record. So we've had three warm Octobers in the last 10 years, which is on the top 10 list, which goes back to 1840. So quite a bit of, that's pretty impressive. And we hit 85 on the 4th and I think 86 on the 5th. And with some of our warmest temperatures we've seen in October in a long time, I want to say at least a couple of decades. So, and then we hit an 80 again on the 27th for a record. I think we had like three or four record high temperatures that month. So very impressive indeed. Precipitation was near normal, a lot drier to our south, but near normal. And then November got drier. We actually had a dry month in November, but it got cooler. We also had some snow in the end of the month. Not a big storm, but a couple inches make it about normal. And so far in December, we're running a little bit above normal. And we got a good soaking rain on Monday, on Sunday night, over an inch. So we're above normal now for the month. And we've had a lot of days of precipitation and snowfall near normal, but we did escape a big snowstorm in the valley on this Monday, where we just stayed a little too warm for snow to really stick. So that's basically it in a nutshell. It was wet and warm 2023, as we've seen many times over and over again with our climate change.
Interesting. And speaking of warming, the crossing the 1.5 degrees Celsius warming mark was predicted to take place in 2050, but now there's a prediction that it might take place next year. What is your research telling you? Do you think that it's going to be warming that quickly?
Maybe not quite that quickly, but a lot quicker than 2050. I think it's going to be before 2030. We actually hit it one day, I believe a couple weeks ago. There was one day that we actually hit it on one day. And I think it's going to become more frequent. I absolutely don't see any reason why it wouldn't. So I would say before 2030 anyways. So that is a red flag, but that's when we begin to really see other things, a lot of stress on the planet, that added stress. Unfortunately, that will not be a good thing.
And you mentioned we have passed it. So what does it mean to actually cross this line? Does it mean every day of the year is past 1.5? What actually makes us?
No, it was one day. It was one day, and I can't remember the day. It was about 2 weeks ago. I think it was in November, even though we were a little cooler than normal. Or maybe it was late October, but I think it was November that we actually, the world as a whole, crossed it for the first time. So it's the beginning of what's going to happen. No, it's going to happen in days here and there. And we are in El Nino, so that's helping to add a little bit of heat. So, but even so, I'd say it's going to become a more regular occurrence in the 2030s, maybe. You know, if we don't clean our act up, because we're continuing to put too much CO2 in the atmosphere, that's not changing. We've talked about that several times in the past year.
So you said the world did cross it for one day. So have we already met this mark, or is there a different mark to actually consider us having crossed the 1.5?
Well, again, you know, it was a preliminary calculation. I haven't heard a confirmation, but it was already an alarm bell that I actually hit it at least temporarily. So, you know, it was one day, but not for the whole year.
So it means crossing that mark for a full year. Okay.
I don't think that's going to happen for a few years, but it's on its way.
So you mentioned the El Nino. What is the prediction? Are we going to go to a La Nina here? And how is that going to, what's the forecast? Is there any prediction for what next year might look like?
Okay. So the El Nino is forecast to continue well into next year. It's strong, it's robust. So we probably will see it into the spring of next year. And then that's the wild card at that point. Will it flip back to a La Nina or go to La Nada? A lot of times after a strong El Nino, we do go back to a La Nina. So I would lean with that thinking, but I don't know how strong it will be. That will cool things down a little bit. But again, we all know that's part of the equation, but the CO2 is a much bigger in warming the earth up. It's really, really the thing that's been warming us up. The El Nino does add a few tenths, no doubt about it, but it's going to keep warming even with La Nina or La Nada or El Nino.
All right. So we're recording this on December 11th. What kind of a weather forecast can you give us at this time?
Well, it looks like we had our storm. Some people got snow, some didn't. It looks like we're going to be pretty quiet the rest of the week. Temperatures are maybe slightly below normal, but not really cold. We're going to see fairly dry conditions. There might be a few snow showers on Wednesday, and it's going to stay breezy, a little windy breezy. We'll have to watch. Our next storm will be late next weekend. And we've had a weekend of having precipitation, but I think we'll finally We might luck out and get most of the weekend without any precipitation, but we've got to watch a storm late in the weekend, the next week. It could be rain or snow as the southern jet stream gets active again. Right now, it's going to kind of split the jet stream and some energy is going to stay south. So we're not going to get any big storms until next weekend. So we'll have to watch and see if that goes offshore and we get hit by that. The jury's still out on that one.
Hugh Johnson, thank you for joining us every week. And it's been great to kind of reflect on the year of 2023. And we're looking forward to talking with you again in 2024.
Absolutely. I've been very enjoyable. Thanks, Sina. You have a great holiday season.
You too. Thanks so much, Hugh.
All right. Bye-bye.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Calling all radio enthusiasts. Have you ever wanted to be on the radio or learn how to edit audio? Got a great idea for a short segment to play during our drive time shows? Start making radio with us at WGXE 90.7 FM as part of the WGXE Community Contributors Program. No prior experience needed. For more information, contact content@wgxe.org. That is content at WGXE.org.
Hey baby, how you? Why your face looking all sad and blue? Don't you like the navigator truck that I brought you? Why you trying to act a fool? Don't try to say you see me talking to your girlfriend. That's Tanya and Cheryl, man. Give me a place and time to win. Don't try to accuse me of silly stuff that I'm doing on the street. You gotta remember, without you, there's no me. I'm just an average man trying to make it in this cold world. So tell me, baby, why you tripping, girl?
I don't wanna fuss with you, so I'm gonna sit out on the couch. Don't try to talk to me, 'cause boy, I am blacking you out. I don't wanna hear a thing other than you've got to say. You should think twice about the way you've been talking to me. Telling him it wasn't your fault and why I ain't letting you in. Too many times before I let you back in my life, but this is a new day and this won't go down tonight.
You from dirt bikes to Honda, took it from that terrible stress. Now you're telling me that I am a bother. What kind of mess is that to tell a man who put you on his team? That's just like killing a dream. No, no, baby, that's how it seems. I work hard to build up what I have with you. I pray to God there's not another man between me and you. So just tell me, there's no need to lie for. Why you sitting with your eyes closed? You don't wanna talk? I yo. I, yo.
there's no more us.
Give me a ho if you got your funky bus fare. Double Dutch affair. B-5-4-5. Well, I'll be darned. Here he comes. The double Dutch bus is on the street. You better get off the cut. Move your feet. Bus fare, transpass. That's the way my money lasts. Ain't got no car to get around. When I go to work, I gotta go downtown. Now I miss my train. That's a common shame. When I'm running late, no sleeps to blame. If you got a wife, you know I'm right. You got a special man. Well, I can understand. Uptown, downtown. Everybody.
bus that takes me to you. I'm so nervous I just sit and smile. Your house is only another mile. Thank you, driver, for getting me here. You'll be an inspector, have no fear. Every day, just to drive to my baby. From 10 to 6 months each day, 'cause I drive my baby every way.
Magic Bus.